Welcome to the A1 Show, episode number 23.
That opened up with you telling me to sit on your lap, wasn't it?
Call me daddy. Fogle, how are you?
I'm good. Recovered well after yesterday, to be honest.
Oh yeah, how'd you go?
Not too bad. Physically very well.
Hold on. Got your intro song.
Don't start. They don't know what it is.
It's the Talking Heads, Swamp.
Swamp.
Can't stop pulling that song out there earlier on. Right. In honor of you crashing into a swamp yesterday.
It was either come down in a mass pile-up or head for the ditch. So I gladly headed for the ditch.
You chose the swamp.
Not a mark on me today.
I still haven't showered, have you?
Yeah. Swamp. It was a good race. Enjoying it up until that point. It's actually moving a lot better than I thought I was going to be. And yeah.
Other Shea Elliott news. Call Slider in the office today. It's first day 1A2 race.
Hold on a minute. I was sitting about 20 or 30 back in the bunch, and the premium is obviously after what? 12, 16K was it?
Was in 12K.
12K. Yeah, so there's a premium, and I was looking up the road. Race was lined out with shit, and I was looking at Cal up the front, and it was his first race at that level. Am I right, Cal? I'm right. And he was up and down the road like a yo-yo in the first half.
I thought it was an apparition when I seen him.
I was wondering what he was doing. I was like, I didn't stick my nose out into the wind once in the first 40 minutes.
The next time I seen him, I was attacking up that small little riser on the circuit, and there was two lads up ahead. I thought, like, fucking dig deep, bridge across to those two boys. Got up there, it was Cahill riding about 14k an hour, abandoned, getting lapped.
He completely blew.
And then the third time I seen him, he was handing out bottles on the top of Glenmalure.
I seen you up there myself.
Yeah. So you get your face painted up there in the end?
I didn't know. Oh, I definitely wouldn't have. I would have been up ahead if it was you. Yeah. With you anyway.
I didn't see it. I seen it start, I seen it to finish. Wish your luck.
You wouldn't have recognised me as covering that much muck from the swamp.
Other news, have you ever been on that Bike Comes First website?
No.
Class. I'm going to throw it out there.
Oh, I have been on it, yeah, of course.
Brilliant. I'm having a fish about, looking, doing a bit of, as I do, diligent preparation for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Class stuff. Seeing Eddie Merckx won his first ever Grand Tour stage with Blockhouse. They had an article on that. Did you know that?
What weight was Eddie Merckx?
Don't know.
Patch would have known that.
No, I don't have that sort of knowledge. Urban Monks has some knowledge.
Oh, unreal. Bang. You know? Urban, what weight was Eddie Merckx when he went up the Blockhouse? And what year was that?
Mark Potts didn't defend the Shea Elliott. But do you know who has won?
He was at the Lincoln in Burnstow.
Yeah, but he hasn't won back-to-back. So I put out the question last week, has anyone ever won back-to-back Shea Elliott? Or what came back and said, yes, they have won back-to-back Shea Elliott.
Who?
Sean Kelly.
No way.
Second year junior, fourth year senior.
Did you see what Shea Elliott's done in his career?
He's had men.
Palmeiras is nuts.
Yeah, he's a good man. Tragic story as well.
Yeah, very tragic, yeah.
You know, the gun went off and he was clean, I believe. Mm. A bit of controversy around whether he done it on purpose or not.
You never know.
Don't know. Another news, if anyone's looking for something good on Snapchat, Sean Hassey's on Snapchat there today, rain and three pointers. When I say rain and three pointers, he's standing over the far side of the kitchen with tea bags and flinging them into cups. It's fucking gas, you need to check it out. So I have down here notes, Swamp Man, that's obviously, we've covered that reference to you.
That's cool.
Right, we crack into domestic news.
Hit domestic news.
Domestic news, hit it. I also, radioactive shit here. It's not a natural colour really for a drink, but.
Not really, no. Yeah, so Shea Elliott yesterday, solid race. It was supposed to be, I thought the weather was going to be a bit better, but kind of pissed rain for three quarters, but didn't it?
What did Darren O'Mahony say to me? It was like a pathetic fallacy where the mood, his weather reflected the mood. So every time it rained, he felt down. Anytime it was sunny, he felt up.
Isn't that the other way around?
But I was wondering, how would that work with you in the swamp? What was your mood like at that moment?
It wasn't great.
Did the swamp reflect your mood?
Jeez, it was probably, actually, some of the lads were talking about it last night in the members group. Do you know what caused the accident? Wait until I tell you what caused the accident. So we're coming down, it was before the bridge. It was a fast section of road, and it was really, really slick and kind of shiny tarmac at the surface. Three Sportif riders were coming the opposite direction out, watching the race or whatever. One of them shit himself when he seen the bunch coming. Obviously pulled the front brake too hard, came down, and everyone in the bunch thought that someone has crashed at the front of the bunch. What do you do? Everyone started braking, and the fucking surface was that slick.
Oh, that was at the little bridge you crashed, was it?
Well, it was before. It was on the downhill section. You wouldn't think there would be. It was because of the Sportif rider scared the shit out of everyone in the bunch. Everyone braked. A few lads went down at the front, and it was like fucking carnage. Like, it was like someone just dropped a grenade into the bunch. But a couple of lads were badly injured. Now I seen the bike this morning actually.
The Boardman.
Jesus,
Sean Rowe had it up, yeah.
Yeah, right. So there's a couple of lads badly injured. I landed in the hedge, it was grand. One swamp. Or two. Swamp.
Yeah, there's no swamp.
Swamp. A few other lads were okay, got up after a few minutes and stuff, but yeah, wasn't ideal.
Not nice to see.
No.
While you were in the swamp, Darnell Moore was taking a famous victory up front. He got out clear in a 17 man break that rolled off after about 90 minutes of racing. Actually hard racing for the first 90 minutes. A lot of to and fro, groups coming and going. And then the brake actually just rolled off.
Just rolled off, yeah.
On a narrow, that was before your crash. It was a narrow section of road. Kind of a bank of ambitious riders, then a bank of less motivated riders.
I'm not calling it a crash. I'm calling it an escape route. I landed softly, without a mark on me in the edge. That's technically not a crash.
No, you got a boo-boo on your shin.
Small little one.
Yeah. Mm. Darnell Moore, Angus Fife, Mark Dowling.
Yeah, I was talking to Mark actually after the race yesterday. He was fairly pissed off at himself that he missed the initial move. I was a bit frustrated and stuff, which you can kind of understand. I know you kind of challenged me on that, saying that maybe he's doing the right thing by waiting to race late.
But like, he got to the front of the race.
Yeah, but sure, he had to ride for an hour at the fucking threshold to get there.
Yeah, but the lads up front were riding all day in the break.
Mm.
Like, and he covered no moves to start, so you save the energy.
It's a somewhat shared load of the road, though, and there's less stress. You're not fucking consistently worrying about getting across to that break.
Now, he done some fucking ride into the base of Glenmalure. Ridiculous.
Dropped you like a snot, didn't he?
No, I accept.
He did.
You said he got boys to
hold on. Yeah, you did. You said yesterday you got to the bottom of the climb after sitting on him for
I
a half an hour,
well.
Right? And he just rode you straight off the wheel.
Of course he rode me straight off the wheel. He's 62 kilograms. You wouldn't have even seen his wheel.
You told me last week, when you were full of confidence after dropping me, you were moving like narrow Cantano.
No. I can't climb for shy. So the Devlin's the best climber in the country. He's phenomenal. He would have dropped you before. He would have dropped you up the railway bridge.
Yeah,
no. No, he's absolutely trucking. He rode a good tempo. I don't have no power meter on, so I don't know what power it was in his wheel.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Fucking hard.
Like yesterday, he definitely had.
Should have barely looked like his aunt now.
Yeah, the legs.
Fucking motor, he is.
Yeah, he's flying. Yeah,
he can do a very good Ross. Very, very good Ross.
Especially those stages in Donegal.
Yeah, no, he's fucking riding really well. Mm-hmm. So Darnell, Angus, Dowling, my two teammates, 5th and 6th, mixed, not great. Probably could have got more out of it. Tough circuit, very tough circuit.
It was hard. Even that initial circuit was long.
Three laps of that. Fucking hell, we're tough enough.
Jesus, there was one lad actually, I think, was what's another one of your teammates' names? I keep forgetting his name.
Sutcliffe, Tim O'Regan?
No.
John Horgan.
I seen John Horgan, he was beside me in the bunch. There was a big lad, I don't know who it was, going down that. You know the descent on the back road?
Oh, yeah, that was
the
sketchy.
Really steep one,
yeah.
With the rough road. There was one lad, big fella, he must have been about 85, 90 kilos, and he locked it up that bad going down that descent that his back wheel skipped from one side to the other about 10 times and eventually kept it up. And down to him, I was like, did you realise your fucking wheel was hopping all around the place? And he's like, when you're as big as me, he goes, it takes a lot of braking force to stop you. And I was like, Joe, what do you say to that?
McGlinchey gapped me by about 15 bike lengths going around that corner. He used to be a downhill mountain biker. He didn't feather his brakes going around it. So I was like,
no, I was completely stopped. I nearly walked around that bend at the bottom of that descent. It's lethal.
The park race was on Saturday. I didn't race it because it was a little bit of rain on the ground. Didn't fancy the ride in the rain more than racing the rain. Lavery won it. A1 coach leaned on second.
You should have been out there. That could have been your chance to get a result.
The Elliott's more important than going to a Pokey Park race. It was a good race, but 50 minutes like.
Now beggars can't be choosers.
Listen, it's more your type of race, to be honest. The short, little sharp one.
You definitely could have got a result there, though.
I'm well above that sort of stuff. Yeah, 50 minutes, fuck that, riding in the rain into the city, waiting around week before the Ross, getting soaked, fucking crash risk and crit like in a wet the week
was
before.
Many crashes in it? I didn't hear.
I don't know. But it was all the zippy little, speaking of zippy sort, all the zippy little crit type riders, apart from Liam Dolan, who's going very well at the moment, were up in the results. That would have been a good race for you, all seriousness, it was a good course for you. And we have one of the A1 clients who's been suffering with illness for the last while on and off, so it's a great result seeing him come back to a bit of health. Martin Gilbert was forced A3 in the park race, coached by John Kenny.
Nice
one. Doing a good old ride there.
A1 staple as well. Squeak was fourth.
Squeak was fourth, yeah. Fourth loser. Squeak hasn't been racing at all.
No, that's a good first race.
Fourth. There's only four lads in it, but that shouldn't take away from Sweep's result. You should be proud of that. Own that, you finished. More than Buggles done all season. Actually, this is a question to throw out there. Is Buggle the only rider ever to start the Ross without having finished one race in the calendar year?
I doubt it.
I would say, yeah.
I doubt it. I bet you one of the other lads have done it.
Do you think that's that'll change after they won the Ross?
Yeah.
Will you put down a finish?
Fucking sure of it.
It's a habit now, not a band.
You're the one that's under pressure here. You're the one that's been training like a full-timer. You're under pressure to make sure...
You've done every kilometre I have now. You put this spin on it.
Here, hold on. How many Sundays have I ridden the bike this year?
50.
Four, I'd say.
Nah, I'm checking off.
Look, he's backtracking here, isn't he? Everyone knows you're talking. It's fucking turf.
So, we have another ill incident out west. This is a typical out west incident. We had a horse that ran out into the peloton out west.
Did you see the picture?
It's like fucking Tato Take Me Home stuff from Into the West.
Brutal.
The Northwest 3 Day. I don't know what happened. Did anyone crash?
I don't think so. Didn't hear anything about crashing.
How does a fucking horse run into the peloton?
We're
leaving the trivial shit behind. The fucking squabblings of Buggles Ross preparation.
I know, like, just to finish off the Ross preparation, I think few people might have taken me up wrong. I'm really looking forward to the Ross. And, like, you know, while I've said, like, 4 days, this, that, and the other, you know, I have got a good bit of training done, and I'm looking forward to, I would say I have a good bit of training done, I've booked all training done, to be honest, but I'm looking forward to seeing how far that takes me, as much as all the slagging that's going around.
I know, you will get around it. I was only taking piss out of you with the 4 day stuff, but I can't see you not getting the scaries.
No, I'm looking forward to it anyway. Like, it's more so, like, you know yourself, for me, it's more of a mental battle now, because I'm not going in anywhere near, I remember I was saying to the lads before, it was always like, you know, you have the prep done, you've nothing to be worried about. I don't really have the prep done, so.
But I think you're at a funny type of level, because a lot of lads will go in and get dropped straight away. You're going to go in, you're definitely strong enough to get a bait, because you go in and you'll be able to hold on long enough that I'm hoping you'll just get 8 days of excruciating pain.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm looking forward to it as well.
But I think you're at that level where you can get the pain, because I've gone into races, you know, in France, when you can't even get a hide and the lads are going that well. You go in and you're just whipped, force climb, you're holding onto the car going.
Yeah,
this is a joke.
You can't even get a workout, like, because you're not sure.
Back here again, tell your man, you leave your fucking bottles and sip gels in the car, I'll get them after 10k on the climb off you. There we go. Actually, I wasn't on the car at all yesterday. I didn't even barely see in the car yesterday.
I didn't either. Until I had to get away out of the swamp.
That'll change for the Ross. I'll have 8 days, I'll have fucking one arm longer than the other. That's a commissar's note. I won't have one arm longer than the other. Giro d'Italia, international news.
So we watched the Giro last night after getting back from the race. We got a shower and we watched it here in the office, and the internet, for some reason, the fucking internet was down.
Oh, so bad.
Jesus Christ, it was the most painful thing.
So that was stage 9. So
how long was the blockhouse?
We'll get to that in a second.
Blockhouse.
16k, I think.
Was 16k. How long did it take them to go up it, roughly?
It took us four times as long to watch it.
They're watching for the last 16k for about 4 hours.
It was shocking.
How do you get home until 11 o'clock?
Right, we're going to start on stage 7, because we haven't. We'll do a quick recap. Stage 7 was the bunch sprint. Bennett again tore it.
So close.
Has he had two good results, or has he shit the bed and missed his chance at a Grand Tour stage twice?
I could kind of go either side. Like, I'd say he knows himself there are really, really good chances. Caleb Ewan's motoring though, especially on that kind of a finish.
Yeah.
Really. Did you see how technical it was? It was a lot of balls involved in that sprint. I was looking at it going,
Bennett's ballsy.
I couldn't even look at the screen. You know what I mean? It was a real ballsy sprint, but Jesus, it's mad watching it sometimes, because you're kind of like, fucking hell, he's at some level now. Consistently.
He can definitely win a Grand Tour stage.
Oh,
but is it starting to become a mental block for him already? No?
I wouldn't say so yet. How many sprint stages is left in the year?
Only a handful. None in the last week, I think.
Yeah, so there's only a couple left.
I won't see any of the Giro once the Ross starts, so we never know what happened. I don't know who won last year, maybe.
We'll be watching it, and you'll have to get some. We could do the A1 show.
Ah, sure, look.
Do your prep.
We'll see. Stage 8 was a whopper, probably the best stage of the race so far. Is a Garrett a movie star took the win from Visconti and Sanchez. The escape stayed out. Conti, very unlucky, binned it on that last dangerous corner.
Oh, Jesus, imagine that. That's your worst nightmare, isn't it?
But the GC attacks were coming hot and heavy on stage 8.
Mm-hmm.
Lambda attacked, Pino countered. It was a nice run in.
Yeah, it was good.
Here we are, the blockhouse. So talk us through yesterday.
I'll talk you through the bad internet connection. It was the most frustrating fucking race I've watched in ages. So we were watching it, like, it really didn't kick off until the incident, really, did it? We start off with the incident, talk about it first, and what you thought.
Yeah, go.
So if you didn't watch it, you need to watch the highlights. You catch them on YouTube or Cycling News or wherever. Team Sky, it was actually the Sunweb team that got caught out first, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hit the, there was a police motorbike in on the left hand side, and they clipped the motorbike. Again, fucking absolute nightmare scenario. Like, they do take up, Geraint Thomas came out and said, like, they take up every inch of the road. What are the motorbikes stopping on the fucking side of the road for? Like, just continue going or pull into a driveway or something. But left his bike out slightly.
You're talking slightly now, half a foot.
Yeah, you are, but they are taking up the whole road. And to be honest, I think the main fault, and this is controversial, is at the leaders, whoever was riding at the front of the Sunweb team. It's a little flick, like their own teammates are behind them in a line. Just flick your hand and say there's a fucking motorbike.
So what actually happened, Sunweb rider, I think it was Luke O'Kelderman that hit it. Luke O'Kelderman's abandoned with a broken finger now.
He's out, yeah.
And so he went down, and then the whole Sky team plowed into him, landed Thomas all down. Thomas dislocated his shoulder, got a pop back in by a doctor on the site, and then rose and died and done a decent enough job limiting losses.
Adam Yates also down.
Yeah, but the crash itself, yeah, I don't agree with the, I think the motorbike marshals are there doing a fucking job keeping the rider safe. The motorbike marshal obviously pulled in for a reason. He needed to get to the back of the bunch for whatever reason. It's maybe there's not a safe place. It's coming onto the blockhouse. Maybe there's not a safe place to pull in. He's pulled in to the right side of the road on a part of the course where they're not occupying the entire road. Like, there's a quote from Thomas here. Listen to this. See what you think of this now. This is fucking what a Welsh tosser. Obviously, we are racing to the bottom of the climb, filling the whole road. And the next thing I know, just out of nowhere, the guys in front of me went down, clipped the motorbike, and that was it. I was on the floor. I thought I'd done something to my shoulder, but the race doctor popped it back in. It was okay. I got back on, battled to the finish, but I knew deep down there's no coming back from that. I was on the floor for quite a while. Then I had to get a bike and everything. It's a shame because it just shouldn't happen.
No, I think that's very fair.
Like, he's saying they're using the whole road. They weren't using the whole road. Look at the highlights.
Ah, they were using.
There's fucking loads of space on the right hand side.
Yeah, but it was windy. You know that. That's like that's.
Yeah, but how many in an open race? How many times in the shade on Sunday did we have a car parked on the left and no one ploughed into it?
Because people call.
Why is no one calling?
That's like, what I said. That's
and even if you are using the whole road, you can still come across, and there's going to be compression. Someone on the right hand side will have to dab the brakes, and it'll single out. Like, there's no problem with braking if you're using the whole road.
I just think it's unnecessary for the fucker, for the motorbike to stop.
But what if it's not unnecessary? He's marshalling the race.
I don't think he would have been that badly missed at the back of the race.
But they need to get up. And, look, it's just a reality of their job. They need to get up and down the bunch.
Yeah, it is going
to
happen.
How are the pro lads not more tuned into an obstruction on the road? Like, it's fucking a minuscule obstruction. And like you were saying, the giant lad took out his own teammates.
Yeah, he did. So he rode up to it. It's the same, like, I mean, you see it an awful lot. You don't really see it at the lesser level. You just see it on the continent an awful lot. Like, you're racing in France and Belgium and stuff. Lads riding right up to whether it was traffic island, roundabout, whatever it is, and then switching out really quick. So the line behind them can't see what's coming.
You was done it in the Ross in 2013 when you hit the traffic island.
My team did.
Yeah, because I remember thinking, I didn't know you'd gone down that time.
The Brits didn't want me winning that year.
But I remember seeing that crash and I go, fucking, they deserve that. Because you were riding right up to the traffic islands and swerving out at the last minute.
I wasn't.
Your teammates were on the front.
Yeah.
And so I remember saying, I didn't know it was you down. And I remember saying, fucking British tossers now, they deserve that. Like,
and then it was me.
And then it was you, and then I was even happier.
That's all.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not having it. I think that's Ryder's fault, Ryder error.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'm up there. It's definitely, the fault has to fall with them lads, I think, in some way anyway.
Landa was another big victim of that crash.
He's out completely, isn't he?
He's not out yet. He lost 27 minutes, so he's going to have an MRI scan.
The problem
today.
Is for Sky now, though, it opens up the door from an Irish perspective for Dignan to go for stages.
Yeah.
And I think he's on form to definitely take stages. I think he's up there with a chance. Of, like, Geraint Thomas is not an out-and-out stage winner. Either is, well, Landa more so maybe, but it does open up the door for himself.
So yeah, well, if Landa even continues, so Landa's gone for the MRI today to establish the seriousness of his injury, Cycling News are saying, so they're going to see if he can continue the Giro or not. According to a report in Spanish publication, AS, Landa slept well, but he's been complaining a lot about the pain in his leg. So even if he does keep going, he's not going to be right for at least a few days after that.
The
He's definitely going to get hosed in the TT. Like, will Thomas plough on? He lost 2-4.
It's not great, really, though. It's after losing. TJ Van Garderen was muck yesterday, to be honest.
That's another debate, actually. He should never be a team leader again.
I think he's going to, like, they were even talking about that inadvertently on the commentary last night. I was listening to it. It was like, is he going to lose his team leader status after this? I reckon.
He's crap.
Yeah, he's not as good. They lost, what's the name of the start?
Ron Dennis.
Ron Dennis is gone. So TJ Van Garderen's out. Ron Dennis is out.
TJ Van Garderen's not out. He's out of contention.
He's out of contention. Adam Yates is out of contention. Land is out of contention.
Well, when you say out of contention, are you talking out of contention for the overall or the podium?
Overall,
I think everyone's out of contention. Apart from Quintana, Dumoulin, Pinot.
I think Dumoulin is major dark, which I'm delighted to see.
He's not a dark horse. Oh, he's a favourite now, I'd say.
He's up there, yeah. Well,
but he's going to take, we'll go through, well, stage 10 is a 40k flat TT. Dumoulin's definitely going to take the jersey.
He will let,
he's only got 20 seconds.
Yeah, he will. But obviously, the last week's hard. Really
but
hard.
But there's another TT.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the hardest climb, 16k, and he only lost 30 seconds.
Figure fatigue and stuff into that, though. He will take time out of Quintana in the time trials, but Quintana, I was expecting Quintana to put a good minute into him.
I think it was a poor performance from Quintana yesterday. I think a minute or 30 seconds to Dumoulin. Dumoulin's the big danger for me there.
I don't think it was a poor performance from him. I think it was an outstanding performance from Dumoulin, to be honest. He rode it clearly rode it at his own pace as well, the whole way up. He sat at a power figure and just fucking drilled it.
Quintana's got to be disappointed coming away from that, knowing that he only put 30 seconds into a TTR.
Yeah, I'd say he's
into the best TTR in the world, possibly.
Arguably, yeah.
Will Bobby Ungles maybe roll in the TT?
No.
So here's another one, a talking point on the back of the crash. Matt White, the director for Orica, what do they call these days? Orica Bike Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Matt White, he's furious at movie star. So Adam Yates got within 50 metres getting back on.
Well, these love a good fight, don't they?
He's pretty disappointed, and it was a poor decision from movie star. There was no need for it. We weren't 1 kilometre from the finish. It was 15 or 16 kilometres from the finish. They were chasing nobody, and everybody knew who was out the back. So all he had to do was just wait up a little bit, give the guys a chance. It's poor sportsmanship.
Where'd you sound that?
I think the racing is on, and if you're going to stop, do you stop for Landa, who stopped for 5-6 minutes and completely neutralised the race?
Sure. Potentially, like Adam, they were saying Adam Yates was just off the back.
You got 50 metres, you got. But why'd you wait for Yates and not Thomas?
Yeah, they would have been waiting the whole way up.
And they've said it. Crippling pace of some of the stats here on the pace they were set. Crippling
your
pace.
Winner, what's his second name? Anacona.
Anacona.
Fucking absolutely lit it up. I seen that. I read that somewhere this morning. 6 point something watts. 6.5 watts per kilo, was it?
6.05 watts per kilo for 12 minutes and 40 seconds.
Fuck's sake. What was that for? 40 watts.
So 50? Well, no, because he's very very light. He was averaged 393 watts, for 12 minutes.
Does it give his weight?
No, but you can work that out there with 6.05 watts per kilogram. And then Quintana's attack when he went was over 700 watts off Anacona.
Big boy numbers.
They're the big boy numbers.
Small boy.
So finished out Quintana, top of the pile. Pinot 24 seconds. Dumoulin at 30 seconds. And Bulk Mollema.
That was an outstanding ride with him, wasn't it?
Yep, I think.
Two Dutchies, he's Dutch, isn't he?
Yep, Dutchie.
Him and Dumoulin rode up together, really, didn't they?
Yeah, and French. It's interesting looking different styles. Like Dumoulin was clearly glued to his power meter, knew his figures.
Pinot wasn't, anyway.
Ah, Pinot's just raw, isn't he?
Yeah, in and out of the saddle, fucking accelerations all over the shop.
Anytime he sees a slope, it's out of the saddle, whacks it, then he drifts back. And,
yeah.
But here's some mad knowledge for you that'll explode your head. With 5.3 to go, Quintana attacked, forced Pinot to accelerate from 12 kilometres an hour up to 36 kilometres an hour on a 7% gradient to close the gap.
You'd struggle with that slow twitch.
12 to 36 kilometres an hour.
It'll take you about 6k to get up.
Hold on now, this is the revelation actually from the last week. Buggle is the new slow twitch.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, you've no tournament pace.
I've more tournament pace than you.
No, you don't.
Ah, would you stop?
Not anymore. You're gone.
Here.
You're gone. We'll go tomorrow and we'll do a...
What, sprint?
No, a change of pace on a climb.
Ah, but you're on a climb. I'm not a climber.
We were doing 20-40s the other day. Bogle's 20 second acceleration was 5 watts harder than his 40 second acceleration.
That's because
you're... that was fact.
It was, but you're a 20-40, you were supposed to do... it was supposed to be like under and over.
Yeah.
I was just over. You were just all like, the way. Yeah.
Slow twitched.
No, I didn't.
You were just fucking slow twitched.
My under was just...
this happened. Show's not about you, it's about the Giro d'Italia.
It was just happened that my under was too hard.
Fucking... you're tragic. Right, Tour of California, did you watch it?
No, little bits, highlights, that was it.
The kettle came to the boil again.
He did, yeah. Top Sagan, didn't he?
Yep, the King of California got second.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Viviani third. John Degenkolb, who narrowly beat me off to a famous stage winning Gory in the Ross in 2011, was fourth. And Jean-Pierre Drucker from BMC was fifth.
It's in like
California, short. Yeah.
It was hidden behind the Giro, but yeah, it's shy.
It's shy.
That's not shy.
Now, Amgen need to pull the sponsorship from that, shy. They need to sponsor the A1 show.
Yeah, they do.
No one's watching California. Why are you putting it on the same week as the Giro? No one even knows it's on.
Yeah, they don't.
Sagan should be at the Giro. Viviani's Italian. What's he doing with the fucking California?
Should you not hear the story? He didn't get. He was pretty disappointed he didn't get picked for Sky.
Of course he was disappointed. Mm-hmm. Fucking. Well, there you go. Coach's Corner, what have you got for me?
Is your face still tingling?
No, I've acclimatized or just adapted to the beta-alanine.
Beta-alanine. So we're going to talk a little bit about beta-alanine. So do you know anything about it since you're ingesting it the last 2 weeks?
Amino acid makes you feel like the spider's crawling all over your body.
Yeah, so that's one of the side effects, is that like it kind of fires up. I think it fires up my nerve endings.
Almost instantly.
Instantly. Did you ever use it while on the turbo train or inside while you're sweating?
You know, I've used it during the night going to bed, and it was a particularly warm night. And the little, when you start sweating even a little bit, it feels like your face is on fire.
Oh, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
It's like napalm poison.
I think it gets some people worse than others, though.
It gets my ears.
Yeah,
it feels like I've lice or something.
It's your mad, meaty head.
Ah, oh, it's bad. It's bad.
So, beta-alanine is a non-essential amino acid, firstly. So, that means your body basically generates it itself. Make sure I have everything correctly here. So, basically what beta-alanine is, it's already in there. Body makes it itself. But we take beta-alanine. So, beta-alanine goes with another amino acid called L-histidine. Stick with me here. The two of these come together to make carnosine. And that's what we're actually looking for. So most people say, why don't we take carnosine? If you ingest carnosine, the problem is it gets broken down into the two amino acids that make it initially, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it has to be reconstituted back to make carnosine again. So people then say, why don't you take L-histidine? We've loads of L-histidine. The actual problem is we don't have enough beta-alanine.
So why would I take beta-alanine?
So studies are showing that rather than sort of time trial performance, it's kind of a mediator or a pH buffer. So your high intensity anaerobic exercise, where you start producing like a lot of lactic acid, a lot of hydrogen ions, the acidity in the blood increases. So beta-alanine basically is a mediator for that, or kind of can buffer the lactic acid. So it's shown to improve performance, and it's basically anaerobic performance, sprint performance, repeated sprints. It's not, that's why a lot of the studies aren't showing important performance in the likes of a time trial. 40k TT isn't really improved in most of the studies. So I think I've covered pretty much
dosage.
So actually there's one a good fact from it. Like, so if you take carnosine properly, dosage, it varies really on your size and stuff. I didn't really want to get into dosage too much.
I'm taking 1 gram twice a day at the moment.
Yeah, so that's it. In and around the 2 grams a day. But over the space of say 10 weeks, you can increase your muscle carnosine levels by taking beta-alanine. So again, just to reiterate that. So if you take beta-alanine, it inadvertently increases carnosine, muscle carnosine. So it's not the actual increase in beta-alanine you're looking for, it's the carnosine inadvertently. So it increases over up to 50% over the course of 10 weeks. So it does. It actually.
But what's that mean then?
So,
like, is that kind of.
This is. It doesn't.
Give that someone they can understand.
The take home from it is that it could improve short term sprint performance and stuff. So if you're not training that stuff, it's sort of subjective in a way. Like, you know, studies are hard to kind of prove exactly how much, but you know, performance enhancing aids or ergogenic aids is what we're talking about here. Like, a lot of them haven't been proven, and people take all sorts of concoctions of shit, and you know that cyclists will take anything, but this one does actually have
any downside.
The tingles, really, that's pretty much.
And they're not that bad.
No, they're not that bad, they're just uncomfortable. I'd say they're kind of agitated, but again, with the supplements, I always say this at the end of speaking about supplements and that, for lads that are kind of like, you know, that don't train enough or don't get enough sleep and all that kind of stuff, that's where the big gains are made. Beta-alanine is one of these small little sprinkles, kind of icing on the cake jobs, that I wouldn't worry about unless you're going to a big race and you're looking at really kind of stepping it up.
Speaking of big race, so I'll be hitting the beetroot this week. We'll talk about that in the next show. Be hitting the beetroot heavy.
And nitrates.
Heavy. So go and get a big shipment of them now.
So if there's any questions about that and I didn't cover it properly, comment on the video and I'll be happy to answer them. I have all my stuff there, but we didn't want to get too sciencey on it there.
Yeah, we can go through my full supplement concoction these days.
It's mad.
Essential aminos, beta-alanine, L-carnitine, multivitamin, fish oils. Bogle takes Ignatius as well. The medical Hail Mary.
Medical Hail Mary. The lads liked that one, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Alright, that was a good coach's corner. I enjoyed that now. As much as I wanted to take the piss out of you, I enjoyed it. Tech news. Did you see the 51 bike that Ronan McLaughlin's going to be riding for Ross?
Ah, mint.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very nice.
If anyone hasn't seen it yet, because I mentioned the bike comes for us earlier on. We've no affiliation with the bike comes for us, so this was a cool website, came upon it. Ronan McLaughlin's 51 bike is on it. It's yellow and black. So they said, when we decided to create my own bicycles, I had a clear and simple vision. I wanted to build unique machines tailored to express the passion, the personality, and the tastes of each individual rider. And so we built a custom bike for the Ross. But it has, what's cool is, all the previous Ross winners, it looks like, written along the bike.
On it?
Yeah. It looks like, you know, Stephen Roach. Fucking.
Oh,
will they be adding Aaron Bogle to that list? It's the big question on everyone's lips.
The odds are on.
The odds are fucking on.
Fucking halfway engraved already.
We're
definitely not engraving yours on it either, so I don't know what yours is.
Listen. It'll all play out on the roads over the next...
Could be Lurky McKenna.
He's fucking... Seeing his numbers. It's not happening for the lad. I found a cool turbo trainer. Cause are you bringing a turbo trainer for Ross?
Yeah. Do I look like I use a turbo trainer before I start a race? Give me a bit more credit than that now.
Couple of lads are bringing turbo trainers. It's getting very popular.
You bring them up.
I'm fucking not bringing a turbo trainer.
That's tragic shit.
You look like a bell end.
A total bell end. I'm not a fan of it.
I just warm up in the first 10k. Yeah.
It probably is the right thing to do.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah. Probably, like, to put it out there, for the likes of the Ross and stuff, if you find the first half an hour really hard.
Which everyone does,
you probably should. It's just, if you're using a turbo, just hide and use it somewhere where no one can see.
I might bring a turbo.
I might. I'll hop eggs off you. If you use a turbo before the start of the Ross, I'll burst you with some.
Yeah, I'll see. Listen, I would bring a turbo if I had this. This is the Tax Neo turbo that's just come out. No, sorry, it's not the Tax Neo turbo. It's the Jet Black turbo. It's called Whisper Drive. And it's pretty much the same as a Wahoo kicker, except it doesn't need to be plugged in. That's cool. I will bring that. So it does all the same shit the Wahoo kicker does. It's Bluetooth. It's got 6.5 kilogram free wheel. You don't have to plug it in. You have to plug the Wahoo kicker in. So how can I bring that out to the start of Ross? A big fucking 40 meter extension lead.
What's the battery?
I guess so, yeah. Or else it's maybe like the Watt bike. It's just, there's an internal battery and it charges from pedaling. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Science. Baffling. So they're saying you can give you up to 1600 watts accurate on a 12% gradient. It's all the same stuff. Electromagnetic resistance controlled by the app. As I said, it's a 6.5 kilogram flywheel for a realistic road feel. And it's a claimed 17 second coast down time on it.
So I just put it out there, I'm not a fan of all this fucking turbo trainer shit.
I'm a big fan of them. Yeah,
you are, because you need it all. I'm not a fan.
Listen, like, you're not a fan because you don't train when it rains.
I do.
You don't. You just go and you go for a fucking...
Don't start with that shit.
You go for a burrito, which I miss when it rains.
Because I love all the hard weather.
No, but listen, if you're stuck in Toronto in the winter, you'd be a fan of a turbo trainer. If you're stuck
hold on a minute now. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of turbo trainers.
That's what you just said. We'll
rewind it after. I said I'm not a fan of all these highfalutin fucking turbo trainers.
Why?
Because it's just too much fucking bullshit. Like, if you have a session to train, get on, look at your session and nail the session out. Looking at fucking other lads on a screen going by and giving you a thumbs up, how are you getting on? Get on and do the session and get off it.
Okay, is it hard to motivate yourself to do an indoor session?
No. Well, never was.
A lot of people find it hard to motivate themselves.
Yeah, well, that's what I... This was a personal opinion.
That's why you're not in the sport anymore, because you're fucking
no,
cramped.
No,
if you had a hand Swift, you'd still be racing.
I actually spoke to someone about this, right? It's nothing to do with crack.
It's not the Aaron Bogle show.
It's fucking... You bringing it up.
Jesus Christ.
You need haircut as well.
Fucking Jesus.
Fucking... You're like me granny.
Right. Here we go. I've got a question for Bogle. And now, I didn't write this. There's no point in getting abuse
in the Bogle
me.
Show.
No, it's just a question for Bogle. It says, we all know Aaron is a crash test dummy. This is a quote. So, can you please give me some tips to assist in my recovery from a crash?
Steam coming off that phone now.
And that's from Ben Kane, who got ravaged by wild dogs. In
hold on a minute. You know as well, right? This kind of stigma thing. You were...
Is he talking about himself again? Answer fucking Ben's question.
Crash Bandicoot up until 2 years
Answer Ben's
ago,
question. Come on.
What was the question?
Ben's question was, yeah, we all know Aaron's a crash test dummy.
Should leave that bit out. Yeah.
I'm just reading the question.
The worst bike handler in the universe here.
Can, how will I assist recovery from this crash? Is there anything you can do to speed it up?
Patience. Massive, massive patience. And I lack in patience. And it's something I had to learn from injuries, from crashes and stuff. Weren't actually, my main injuries or layoffs weren't actually from crashes or knee injuries or overuse injuries and stuff. So a lot of it is patience and just giving it time. You'll come back quick enough. I would say put the emphasis on other stuff. You can't really train physically, so start looking at other avenues. Make sure you have your food right. If you were switching up diet, or you're looking at following kind of a different food plan, or looking at other areas, now is the time to kind of put the emphasis onto that kind of stuff, and just kind of try and advance other areas of your life and stop worrying about the actual physical side, I would suggest.
Yeah, I would say similar. There is some stuff you can do to speed it up. Hydrotherapy, extreme cold, going over the side of it. I had this cool fucking contraption strapped around my upper body for broken collarbone, broken shoulder, and it just constantly flowed ice cold water. Like, you know, you ice your shoulder, but the ice obviously melts and warms, but this constantly pumps ice cold water around your shoulder. But like you're saying, you're not a pro, so you need to just chill probably and just
let it recover.
Fucking watch some Netflix, read.
It's not great, really, is it?
No, it's not.
Sorry,
like,
Ben.
You can, I don't know, like, I was too serious when I crashed coming back from it, because my diet would be stricter than when I was training, and I'd be doing all
that
hydro shit.
The problem is then when you start back, you don't want to be, you kind of, you come back and it's like you never had a break. People are like, ah, he'd be really fresh, like he's ready to train now because he's had such a long layoff, which are probably more mentally fucked than
I was doing
were.
3 turbo sessions a day, and I'd know I was whiffed.
Huh?
3 turbo sessions a day.
Yeah.
On the fucking, in a basement.
Yeah. Not great.
Fucking no Zwift back in the day. Do you take that before races? Caffeine, gels, or energy tablets? What are energy tablets? Yolks? What the fuck? How can you can't take them before races.
You can't take the North Sider out of you anyway.
Caffeine, gels, energy tablets. Yolks. Take that before races.
What? Do I take caffeine?
Anything before a race.
No, you know, double espresso. Well,
yeah, coffee before a race. Don't eat high glycemic index carbs.
Right.
For the last hour coming up the race.
Yeah, that's a big mistake I used to make for years. Years and years. And fucking, you're yawning on start line.
Yeah, I was wondering why I got so motivated for this race. I'd fall asleep on start line.
What's wrong with me? Yeah. Just dozing off. And it takes an hour then to get into the race. So try to stay away from that stuff the hour before. Have your fueling in order the night before and that morning. And don't be eating.
People sip on high five and stuff in the car on the way up.
Tons of it. Power bar, like all sorts.
And then they get to the race, they stop sipping on it because they get changed, and their blood sugar just drops off a cliff. Gonzo,
yeah.
Right, last question, and then we'll wrap it up because my battery is at 2%.
Yeah.
Motor pacing session suggestions.
Oh, you have to do. Favorite session was, I have two of them. I used to do a mad long ride. The ride that we done last week, and I needed to sleep for 3 days after it.
The one where you
great.
Got fucking glandular fever after
it. Yeah. I'm all right now. I got over it. The echinacea worked. So we came up over the mountains. I used to live down in back end of Meath, which is what, 100k from here? Whatever, 50k, I'm not sure. Out up around the mountains and come back in. So it was a 5 hour ride, and I used to finish behind the motorbike. So the last hour was about 50k an hour, 60k an hour. So it simulated the last kind of 20-30k of a race. I used to do that ride nearly once a week when I was at home, like thinking about the shit I used to do. So that was one, and then a shorter session I used to do would be sprinting off the bike.
That's great.
Which is a really good session for anyone that's kind of, I actually done a blog on this and I'll link this in below as well. It's kind of the difference between acceleration and sprinting from speed is something I spoke about before. So long story short, and we're wrapping up here, is the difference of acceleration, like to simulate that out on your own, you'd want to be sitting behind someone. You don't need to use a motorbike, but the motorbike's great for, so say the motorbike's sitting, you're sitting behind at 50-60 k's an hour. Sprinting off the back of that, or coming out from behind and trying to go by the motorbike, even if it's just a meter, is a lot different than doing a slow roll and start speed out on your own. And it does simulate a race finish.
Yeah, two up stuff is brilliant behind the bike. We were just talking about before we started. Me and Cass, I used to do a lot of it behind the motorbike at 50k an hour, and it's just that I'm attacking out of wheel two, and then I'm coming back and just sitting at the back and just taking
for most people that are watching this though, motor pacing again is one of those, it's almost a nice to do thing for lads that are racing at a high level. It is this nice thing to do because it gives you a sensation of speed. It's not a need to do for the vast majority of people.
So if you're doing club league races and you're racing the weekend, you don't need to do it.
You don't need to do it. It is fun, and if you have someone that's doing it, if you have a small circuit, say 15 minutes long or 10 or 15 minutes, I used to always pick a marker that I used to sprint by the bike on. And
it's dangerous as fuck as well.
It is dangerous, but it's a really enjoyable session. If you are struggling a bit to get out and get a session done, and the likes of the lead up to the Ross now for lads that have been training, unlike me, for the last 12 weeks or whatever, the last 2 weeks they might do a couple of sessions behind the bike, and it is...
Don't do it near swamps. Tragically.
But then tragic.
Lads, thanks for watching. We catch you again on Thursday, last show before the Ross.